Translation, the ocean, which is the source of all valuable jewels, supplied the upper and lower portions of a yellow silken garment. The predominating deity of the water, Varuna, presented flower garlands surrounded by six-legged bumblebees, drunken with honey. Purport. When bathing, the deity in the Abhishek ceremony with various liquids such as milk, honey, yogurt, ghee, cow dung, and cow urine, it is customary to supply yellow garlands. In this way, the Abhishek ceremony for the goddess of fortune was performed according to the regular Vedic principles. Om Gyanati Manandasya Ginnandana Salakaya Sakshura Militamyana Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svaparantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaisnavamsya Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sivisakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vindavaneswari Visavana Sutta Devi Pranama Mami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatirubhyacha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaisnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. It is described that the upper portions in the universe, the heavenly planets, that those regions are governed by the mode of goodness, where our region, there the mode of passion is predominant. So in these higher regions where goodness predominates, the natural tendency is to do everything properly according to Vedic injunction. Whereas here, in this area which is governed by passion, the natural tendency is to just follow the passions and do whatever we feel. And then after that, oh yeah, there are rules and regulations and restrictions. Oh gosh, how can we follow them? That is the difficulty. So therefore, the demigods are by nature inclined to do everything by an appropriate standard. That is what we are seeing. We're seeing that it was a blissful time, because it was the time when they were churning the ocean of milk, knowing very well that all was going on by the arrangement of the Supreme Lord, and that so many blessings would appear from that ocean, which would bring somehow or other Dharma into the world, which would bring the mercy of the Lord into the world. We see many auspicious elements are appearing from this ocean of milk. For example, Airavata, the elephant of Indra, who is Indra's very powerful ally, an elephant with four tusks, that is supporting Indra in his mission of upholding Dharma within the universe. So whatever the products that came from this ocean were just highly auspicious, and most astounding was when Lakshmi herself appeared from the ocean. Of course, Lakshmi may have appeared from that ocean, but that was not her original appearance. It was not the beginning of her existence. It was simply her appearance in that particular situation, because Lakshmi Devi is eternal and is the eternal consort of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, always residing at the chest of the Lord. So Lakshmi Devi, when she appeared from the ocean of milk, then she was duly received by all the prominent personalities who were present. And everyone offered her due respect. Being the consort of the Supreme Lord, naturally, she was due respect from all the demigods. And thus all the demigods were making various offerings. Since she appeared from the ocean in this situation, the ocean was acting like her father, and really the entire situation that is taking place, where she is ceremoniously received with a bathing ceremony, is not just a reception arrangement, but it turns out that what it actually is all about, it is the Swayamvar of Lakshmi Devi, or the ceremony where she can choose a husband. And, oh yes, all the demigods, upon seeing her, her amazing beauty and so on, desired her. But she looked at all the men of the world, and she saw shortcomings in them. She saw that they all had faults. She saw that each one of them had shortcomings, and therefore there was no question in her mind that any of these men could possibly ever be accepted as a husband. Only the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and finally, therefore, she chose the Supreme Lord as her husband, and she eternally resides there on the chest of the Lord, in this way benedicting all the devotees of the Lord, those who bow down to the Lord, man mana bhava mat bhakto, those who worship the Lord, they are getting the benedictions. So in this way, we see how the auspiciousness of devotional service is brought into the universe and is part of the universal structure or the universal order, or part of the desire of the Supreme Lord. Yesterday I said that the design of the universe is not according to the desire of the Supreme Lord, but it is to provide the desires of the living beings. Like we see, when Lord Brahma is engaged in the creation, he is in the beginning seated on the lotus flower in the universe, which, and all the ingredients for the creation, the secondary creation, are in the whirl of the lotus flower. Then Brahma is through meditation on the Supreme Lord, getting the inspiration to create, to make all the arrangements within the universe. And at one point, Brahma has to do something that he really doesn't want to do, as part of the creation, which is to create the influence of nescience and forgetfulness. It's something he really, it hurts him that he has to do this, because Brahma, being a devotee of the Lord, just like any other devotee, wants to just flood the all the living beings with love of God, right? And the last thing he wants is to make people forget, just as we would feel also very bad if we would give people something that causes forgetfulness of Krishna. I mean, it would be difficult. You'd feel guilty after that. But Brahma had to do so because it was basically part of the blueprint let's say that was revealed to him from within as to how he had to do the creation. So to provide for the living beings, to express their materialistic sinful desires, nescience is a requirement. So Brahma had to create it, but he didn't desire it. But such is the need of the situation. Krishna also doesn't desire it. Chavashyasaham ridhi sannivisto matasmitir gyanam abhovanam chavidaishta sarvaham eva vidyo vedantakrit vedavit eva chaham. Krishna is not desiring to cause forgetfulness, but still remembrance and forgetfulness come from him. And it is also stated that when the living being is very determined to forget Krishna, then he will help. He will help. It's a little scary if you think about that, that at one point Krishna will help. Of course, with the devotee, not so quickly. The devotee has said to Krishna, "Krishna, I am yours." Then when the devotee again turns away from Krishna, then Krishna will say, "Wait a minute. You said you were mine." And Krishna will again, somehow or other, make arrangements. Just like Srila Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita, in the purport to the verse, "Te sam evanukam partam aham agyana jam tamaha nasiyami atma bhavastu jnana dipena basvataha," which is explaining that with the shining lamp of knowledge, I am revealing this knowledge within. And then Srila Prabhupada is explaining in the purport, yes, even if one has received the instructions of a bona fide spiritual master, and even if one has understood the instructions, but one is not taking advantage of these instructions, then Krishna from within will make arrangements, right, to somehow or other bring us to, from within or without, he will make arrangements to somehow or other bring us to the point where we start to follow. So, in other words, Krishna is there, even when the devotee doesn't want to be, is not so eager to be Krishna conscious anymore. Too bad. Once taken a step towards Krishna, Krishna will not let us go so easy. But if we're very determined, he might just let us go. He might. But not so easy. When I was temple president in Vrindavan, one devotee came and said that I had his passport in the safe. He said, "Please give me my passport. I'm leaving." I say, okay. He was determined to go back to the material world. And he tried. He tried to enjoy in the material world, but he could not enjoy. He said, because he had transcendental knowledge. So he's trying to enjoy sense gratification. But each time when he was engaging in these activities, he knew actually this is not the goal of life. So is it like, he said to Krishna, "Krishna, it is not fair. It's not fair. It's like you're not giving me my independence. You know, we are having minute independence, but you're not giving it to me. You're not giving it to me. I have a right to my independence, you say, but you're not giving it to me." In this way, he was praying to Krishna. He was rather on the tall side, you know, something sutapa height or above. And it was India. Tall people in India have to be extra careful because there are low-hanging ceiling fans. And sure enough, somehow or other, he stuck his head in the fan. Well, after seeing the entire universe and a few other, and some tweeting birds and everything else, right, he came sort of again to the senses, and then lo and behold, after that bang on the head, he forgot everything about transcendental knowledge. Krishna had arranged it. he could again enjoy. And he got into his favorite type of sense gratification in India and a few others. And he was traveling around India in this way, enjoying. After he recovered from the concussion. And then he was in South India one day, on the bank of the Krishna River, and sitting on a rock and thinking, this is a great place to smoke one. And he was just about to make a little pipe, which he carried with him for that purpose. And then he saw a monkey coming down the mountain, and the monkey offered obeisances to the Krishna River, took water 3 times from the river, and then suddenly he realized, oh my God, I'm going to be a monkey also in my next life. He realized it. You know, he's a devotee, this monkey. He's a devotee. And somehow or other, a devotee that did so much nonsense that he became a monkey. And I'm on the same, going in the same direction. So we can see that even although he wanted his independence back, Krishna said, yes, 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 I'll give it to you. See, you've got it now. Oh, yes, I've got it back. But we can see Krishna was still not really giving it. He was not really giving it back to him, because he still arranged that a monkey came and sort of reminded him. And he came back again to Krishna consciousness, continued struggling with the material energy. What to do? He was one of those kind of people. I haven't seen him for a while. No idea where he is now. Sometimes he pops up on a Rath Yatra or something like that. There are many devotees like that. So what to do? The Lord arranges through his agent, Lord Brahma, or as the super soul, for forgetfulness in the living being. But that is not his principal purpose. So within the creation, although it is not going on according to the desire and the plan of the Lord, there are many arrangements built in to bring the living being, the conditioned souls, back to Krishna. Somehow or other, many arrangements are there. Mercy is put all over the universe by the Supreme Lord. There are holy places. We remember that Puranic history of Prahlad, who in a previous life was not a devotee, but was a conditioned soul, a man who wanted to enjoy with a low-class lady and they were going into the forest, and there was an abandoned temple, an ancient abandoned temple, and they thought that this might be a suitable place for their enjoyment. And so they decided that they would clean that temple, right, and make it a nice place. And they brought some prasad, and they would sit there and have a nice time. But then, in the course of cleaning that temple, they got into an argument, and as a result of the argument, right, they split up, and they never got. And she took the prasadam with her and left him there, and he was just there, all alone. In that place, nothing to eat, right? And it turned out that it was an abandoned temple of Lord Nrisingadev. And it turned out that that day was Nrisinga Chaturdasi, and that somehow or other he had done service in that abandoned temple of Lord Nrisingadev, had cleansed it on that day, and therefore in the next life he got all these benedictions to appear as a devotee. So we can see how how there's mercy in the universe, hidden, unknown, and that somehow or other one comes in contact with this mercy. Like last year, I was in New York and just near Matchless Gifts, and I went to Tompkins Square Park, and there is the tree under which Prabhupada stood and chanted. It's obviously a desire tree, not an ordinary tree. It's a wish-fulfilling desire tree. So I go to the tree, and there's a sign on the tree, Hare Krishna tree, put by the city council. And next to it, next to the path, there is a board which explains what the tree is all about, that this was the place where the founder Acharya of ISKCON, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, started his movement and was performing public chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So it's very nice. It's appreciated. So I went there to this place of pilgrimage, and as I stood under the tree, generally speaking, you know, I'm Dutch. Dutch people, a very Protestant country, you know, like so. Generally speaking, we don't hug trees. You know, that's more Italian. You know, like, oh mamma mia, that's more sort of Catholic. You know, so we don't hug trees so much. You know, so I don't usually hug trees. But this tree, I thought, well, this is Prabhupada's tree. Let me give it a hug, you know. So, okay, gave the tree a big hug, gave a set my prayer. I turn around, and suddenly there's this boy standing behind me, and he says, "What do I have to do to become a monk like you?" And I just realized, it's a desire tree. There's no doubt about it, you know, no doubt about it. This is a transcendental, wish-fulfilling desire tree, right? Placed in the material world somewhere. Somehow or other, a holy place. Of course, Prabhupada created such places by his potency, wherever he went. He made such places just transcendental. That is the power of a pure devotee. And the Supreme Lord, the same. He has... so many tirthas are there. The whole way from Vrindavan to Gujarat, right, is great because Krishna went that way. So that's a blessed road, right? Just the road between Vrindavan and Gujarat is a good road. Yes, it's a tirtha. Juhu Beach. Oh, Juhu Beach. Right? That's our beach. Prabhupada walked there every day. Very nice, yes. It's like you see all these Indian gentlemen in their shorts, you know, like, and their walking shoes, fitness, and we are chanting Hare Krishna on the holy sand. So like that, so many blessed places, blessed by the Lord, and blessed by his devotees, blessed by so many devotees, right? So many deities we always hear are installed by Krishna's grandson, Vajranaba. Right? This deity was installed by Vajranaba. He said, look, Vajranaba installed a lot of deities, right? And he got a long list, you know, like, but, so he was a great agent of mercy, a great agent of mercy. Like that, so many agents of mercy of the Lord have left mercy. So many deities are self-manifest, found in the earth, and then so many auspicious places. The holy dhams are more than such sacred places. Sacred places are places that have become invested with transcendental energy. Just if we have a building which has functioned for a long time as a temple, and the devotees have chanted there every day, then the whole building has become purified. The whole building. And so much potency is there. Prabhupada said, when the Harinam party goes through the street, not only are the people in the street purified, by hearing the holy name. He said, the street itself is purified. And anyone who goes through the street after the holy name also gets purified. So the Sankirtan party already left. They're already gone, long gone. But the street is still purified and there's still benefit from going through that street. So the benefit of this movement is just amazing. Prabhupada gives this one lecture and he says, yes, we don't need microphone. He said, we don't need microphone. We are using the microphone to purify the microphone maker. So that was a really amazing point, you know. And think about it for a moment. If the microphone maker, whatever it is, you know, can't read the brand, sorry, but whatever it is, the microphone maker is purified. Well, so many things are purified. Someone worked in that factory, put this microphone, put it in a box, right? Whole day long putting mics in boxes. But this one went to the Hare Krishna temple. Boom, purified. So many things. The doorknobs, the screws, every screw that is in this building, whoever sort of was involved in that process gets purified. So there's a lot of invisible mercy spread out everywhere throughout the whole universe. And people are just being blessed. And we can't imagine how much it is, but it is a lot. It's everywhere. And we were touched also. I was also touched. I went to the musical Hair. I also had hair in those days. I went. And I remember it still, at least the part that shocked me the most, where at the end of the musical, all the actors took their clothes off. I still remember. I try not to. I try not to think of that too much. But that picture is sort of still in the memory banks, right? And then apparently they were also chanting the holy name in the musical Hair. That I don't remember. My mind doesn't remember that at all. Sinful mind. But still, it must be there also. So this Agyata Sukriti is all an arrangement of the Supreme Lord, that the whole universe is filled. So when Krishna gives independence to the living beings, he doesn't really give independence to the living beings. It looks like he's given independence to the living beings and that we can exist and enjoy separate from the Supreme Lord. But meanwhile, he's there all along behind the scenes and making arrangements and interfering even in the life of conditioned souls. It's not fair, someone may say, with my tall friend who stuck his head in the fan. It's not fair, Krishna. You promised us independence. Give us independence. Oh. So finally, if you insist, if one really insists, said, I really want independence. I don't want these arrangements which force us to come back. I don't want what Prabhupada called the sand in the sweet rice. The material world is like that. Whenever there is sense enjoyment, there is some suffering also. There's sand in the sweet rice. Crunch, crunch, crunch. Why did Krishna have to create suffering? Why? Why did he have to create suffering in the material world? Yes, that is his mercy. He is in this way reminding us that this place is not a place to enjoy, so they go back. Yes, yes, but why did he put it in? Why didn't he just leave us alone? What if the material world was a place where there was no suffering or no extra suffering? Maybe the only suffering would be that we would be lacking in our eternal relationship with Krishna. Why couldn't he leave it like that? Why he had to put this suffering? Why? Because Krishna is waiting. Krishna is looking. Please come back. Please, please. hurry up. How long? How long are you going to take? Krishna is waiting. Nasyami atma bhava stu. In this verse, I quoted from Bhagavad Gita, te sam evanukam pratam aham agyana cham tamaha. The shining lamp of transcendental knowledge. It is said that Krishna is waiting in our consciousness, and as soon as he sees the slightest inclination, slightest, a little bit, he immediately becomes very enthusiastic. Oh yes, gives us all the, because Krishna is more eager for us to go back to Godhead than we are to go ourselves. It's sort of, and it is, we've come now to the point that we sort of want to go back to Godhead. Sort of. No, we do. Really, you know. Although one devotee, one lady, she said, I don't know if I want to go back to Godhead. I don't know anybody there. So this is kind of Atmavan Manyate Jagat, projecting the present situation on the eternal situation. The poor man was pulling the boat in Bengal. It's called a maji. The majis are pulling a boat with, they walk on the shore and they have a rope and they pull the boat upstream. This was before they had engines. The majis, they're pulling in. This poor man had no shoes and there's sharp stones and thorns. And he was thinking, if I was a rich man, then, you know, I would, then I would cover the whole banks of this river with soft quilts. Yes, and then when I would pull my boats, I wouldn't hurt my feet. Would be very nice. This is foolishness. When you're a rich man, you don't have to pull no boats. You don't need no quilts. Yeah. So Krishna is eager for us to come back to Godhead. We don't have to worry, I don't know anyone in the spiritual world. We will know Krishna. We will again remember Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sada Kabunai Shravanadi Sudha Chitta Karya Udai. Because this Krishna consciousness is not something new we have to learn. It's not like, well, I'm going to the spiritual world, maybe I should start learning Sanskrit. Yeah, that will be handy. You know, buy one of those books, you know, What and How in Sanskrit, in case, you know, yeah, you wind up in the spiritual world, you know, so you can get your way around, you know, prepare for the journey. No, it's coming home. It is our homecoming. It is our homecoming. That is so nice in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. The Brihad Bhagavatamrita in that way is a unique book. Because we read transcendental literature, and part of transcendental literature are descriptions about devotees, not only about Krishna, but also about success stories about devotees. So there are many stories where so-and-so did this and this sacrifice, this service for Krishna, and then went back to Godhead. And there are many stories. Went back to God. But the interesting part is that Gopu Kumar in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he doesn't just go, he arrives. Right? The story doesn't end, and then he went back to God. He arrives on the other side. And it's not sort of like a plop, he's back, you know? I was gone and suddenly, whoop, and he's running again with the cowherd boys. It's not exactly like that. No, he's back. And suddenly, Krishna sees him, and his name is Sarup. 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 Krishna is calling out his name, Sarup, Sarup, you are back. And Krishna faints. And then, you know, the gopis think, who is this? Some agent of Kamsa? Balaram says, no, it's all right. He's a devotee. Krishna hasn't seen him for a long time. That's why. Then Balaram takes Sarup to Krishna and says, chant in his ear. And so he chants in his ear. Then Krishna comes back to his senses and he's so happy to see him. And he gives him this amazing embrace, right? He gives him this, like, really pulls him close to his chest. I'm so happy that you are back. And so happy. And then, okay, he takes him home. And that day, Radharani has cooked the sweets. And actually, Sarup is coming in that family line of Radharani, yeah, in his Swarup. And Krishna gets sweets cooked by Radharani and he makes a face like, Everyone's upset. And Krishna says, these things are unedible. And he just takes all the sweets and throws them on Sarup's plate. Here, you know, like, you know, I mean, your Radharani from your family, like, made this, you know. I mean, you taste it, like I mean, what she did, you know. You're responsible for this. This is your family member. And Sarup, you know, like, everyone's shocked, and Sarup tastes, and it's nectar. It just tastes like nectar. And Krishna just gave him all this mercy. So how nice, you know, how nice Krishna is, so eager that we come back. Although he is Atmaram, fully satisfied within himself, he is engaged in his eternal exchanges with all his devotees. And, you know, there is this nice reference in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which I like, and it describes, it says, Radharani, the love of Radharani is in competition with the qualities of Krishna. It's that Krishna has unlimited qualities, and the love of Radharani is discovering all these qualities. And as she's discovering a new quality of Krishna, her love embraces that quality immediately. Anytime she discovers something new about Krishna, she loves that also. So in this way, her love is always increasing. And she's just endlessly discovering more and more. And of course, when that love is increasing of Srimati Radharani, then Krishna's love is also increasing. And this, of course, is a relationship that doesn't just exist with Radharani, it exists with every devotee. The love of every devotee is increasing and makes Krishna's love increase. So although Krishna is together with all his devotees in an ever-increasing ocean of loving exchanges, and he's totally absorbed in that, and the bliss and the nectar is just overwhelming, and everyone is just overwhelmed, Krishna is sometimes falling in ecstasy, right? It's not only the devotees. Krishna is overwhelmed by ecstasy and so on. So, but still, there is this little bit missing. Just a few, one-tenth of the spirit souls. One-tenth of all the spirit souls are in the material world. They are missing. So Krishna wants them also. How long do I have to wait before they finally come back to Godhead? Please come home. We're just now coming. Just now coming. And we're still not coming. Are we going to make it this life? Did you ever go to an astrologer, a Vedic astrologer, maybe a Bhrigu reader? Did he tell you who you were in your last life? Did he tell you that you were a prince in Orissa? Did he tell you? Oh yeah, a great devotee of Lord Jagannath, but that somehow or other there was still a little tinge of material contamination, and therefore you had to take birth again, this life in ISKCON, yes? Or for a small donation, we will find that special scroll. No, yes. You give donation, and small, not so small, just a few thousand dollars or pounds, and then we will find your scroll, and it'll take some time. And then after some time, we will let you know. We found it. Ah, yes, we found. No one ever had a scroll where it says that they were a worm in their last life who somehow then had prasadam, you know, which technically also might be possible. But anyway, all right, go to the Bhriga readers and you get to know that in your last life, you're a great devotee, a prince from Orissa, devotee of Jagannath. What went wrong? What went wrong? What happened? You blew it. Huh? You blew it. You great prince. Yeah, you great prince. You completely blew it. You didn't go back to Godhead, Mr. Prince. What a thing to do. Huh? So close you were and you missed the boat. And what about this time? How close are we now? We are so close. So close. Are we going to miss this time? Are we going to miss this time? So that is the question. That is the question that we can reflect on, that with all the mercy that we got, are we actually amongst those who say, yes, 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 Krishna. Yes, yes, just now coming. Just now coming. Just now. Yes, yes, yes. I'll be right there. Just now coming. Is that what we're doing right now? Are we going to miss the boat again? So that's my final point. I'll leave you with that, you know, this morning. And if there's any question or comment, I would be